Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom who are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed.
Good morning and happy Easter to you all. I don't know about you, but I'm absolutely starving. I hope you've all had breakfast, but I haven't, so if you don't mind, I am going to cook myself a bacon sandwich. Just get the gas on. Just don't mind me. I'm going to leave that cooking. So happy Easter to you all, and it's lovely to see you all here this morning. Not such a fine, glorious day, but it is a glorious day because of our Lord Jesus Christ rose. So whilst that's cooking, let's just think about what's been going on in the last week. Now, some of you might remember the Falklands War. Some of you might not. Some of you might have heard it in the news. And it was a war between Argentina, who invaded the Falklands, and England. And now this happened about 30 years ago. And we've been hearing in the news from soldiers or on documentaries about what happened. And when we've been seeing that, we've been seeing how they've become quite emotional and how attached they've been to that because of colleagues and friends that they have lost in battle. And I can't imagine it. It must be quite a scarring thing to having gone to war and losing a very close friend who you'd been fighting side by side with. But the amazing thing is they remember as if it was yesterday. They remember it, even though it was 30 years ago, it was clear as day to them. And in the same way, we hear this of Jesus' resurrection. I'm just going to turn the bacon. I love a good bacon sarnie. Anyway, so Jesus' resurrection happened 30 years previous to when Paul wrote this letter. In the same way as we're hearing now of the Falklands War 30 years ago. People were there and they saw. So just like I'm cooking this bacon sandwich, just like you see me cooking this bacon sandwich, Paul and the other apostles were there. So let's have a look at this. So in verses 3 to 8, make sure you've got your Bibles open in front of you. We're on 1 Corinthians 15, and it's page 115. So Paul is telling the Corinthians this has really, really happened. It's not just him who was seen, Jesus risen, but there are many others. So verse 3, it says, you know, it's important that you've heard and seen and heard what I have seen and heard. You've been told it's really important that Jesus died for our sins. And many people saw that. Over 400 people saw that happen. The apostles were there when it happened. And we were told in Scripture that it would happen Isaiah 53. And it was fulfilled. Now, not only has Paul seen this happen, but Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea in John 19 buried Jesus. So he went to the cross, he died, and he was buried. This is historical stuff. It's not make-believe, it's historical and written down. And again, he was buried according to the scriptures for 3 days. And then he rose again today. He rose on this day. And again, according to scriptures. And as I said, it's not only Paul that's seen him, but he showed himself first to Peter, then to the 12, then to the 500, then to the 12 again, then to James, and then to Paul on the Damascus Road, where Paul turned and committed himself to following the Lord Jesus. And Paul even says, most of those 500 are still alive and kicking. They're still around. 30 years on down the line, they're still here. Some of them have died and fallen away, but 30 years on, they're still here. I'm still here. And it's like yesterday that it happened. Just like the Falklands Wars and the guys on the TV that we're seeing at the minute, thousands and thousands of soldiers were there fighting on both sides. It was on TV. It really happened. Like Paul, the soldiers can remember it like it were yesterday, as if it had only just happened. That's how clear Paul is. Paul writes this letter to the Corinthians 30 years down the line, remembers it like yesterday. It really happened, just like me cooking my bacon sandwich. Okay? Just like me cooking my bacon sandwich in church this morning. There's what, about 100 of you here? Most people might think, you've got to be joking. The guy who did the sermon on Easter morning cooked a bacon sandwich in the sermon. But actually, you can turn around and say, well, there's 99 other people that saw it happen. There's 99 other people saw him put the bacon in the pan, turn the gas on, light it, cook it, make the sandwich, smelt it, and it smelt good. And he held it up in front of us. You were there. You saw it. And there's witnesses as well to see it. And Paul is saying the same. Paul is giving this account to the Corinthians and saying, reminding them of what he has taught them, of what he has preached to them, and that this is what they had believed. Because it was first-hand account. They had believed that Jesus Christ has been crucified for them, for their sins, that he died for them, and that Christ's resurrection really happened. Paul and those 400 or 500 other men and the 12 apostles were there. They saw it. They saw Jesus alive. They saw his death. And then he revealed himself in the resurrection. Jesus' resurrection really happened. It really happened. Now, can you see the evidence? Can you see what's coming here? It's not just some story. It's historical. Christ really rose from the dead. Now, that would all go out the window if someone turned up and said, oh, look, I found Christ's body. No, he's really copped it. He's proper dead. He's not walking. And that's not what has happened. He was seen in flesh and blood. He showed his wounds to Thomas. Thomas felt his hands where the nails had gone through, and he was there. Did Christ really raise from the dead? Was he really sacrificed for our sins? Well, yes, he was. If you're someone here today that's not a follower of the Lord Jesus or not quite sure, well, just take a look at the evidence. Read through the Gospels. Look at the way how the faithful who were there and saw and accounted for it teach of it. Look at how the Old Testament reveals the new and teaches us of the new and helps us to understand. And for those of us here today that are followers of the Lord Jesus, well, look at the extraordinary event that happened. Look at the fact that our Lord Jesus was raised from death to life, that he conquered sin and death, so that we might be saved. We're going to sing a song. It's called He Is Risen, just declaring of how our Lord Jesus Christ was raised from death to life for us. So we're going to sing that now. Resurrection has really happened. And we're going to look at, well, Jesus' resurrection really matters, okay? Jesus' resurrection really matters. Now, some of you might know, some of you might not, that I'm a type 1 diabetic. Now, that means I have to do injections 4 times a day, test my bloods, go in and out of hospital. It's not as bad as it sounds. It can be a bit of a pain. But the one thing that keeps me alive is this. It's not very big. It's not very flash. But it keeps me alive. This is an insulin pen. Now, all of you, unless you're a diabetic like myself, you have something called a pancreas, and that produces insulin, and that regulates your blood sugars. Well, my pancreas is kaput. Doesn't do anything. It's just sitting there going, yeah, taking an easy ride in my body. But for the last 21 years, this little thing has kept me alive. And if I don't take it, I can become very, very ill very quickly. To the point where I could go into a coma, a diabetic coma, and actually not come out of it. That's how serious it can get. But I take it because if I don't take it, it's going to cause permanent damage to my body. It will kill me if I don't take it. It's a small pen, but I wouldn't survive. Now, why is Jesus' resurrection such a big deal? Well, because it matters. Well, why does it matter, you're asking? Well, Paul points this out right at the beginning of our passage. Right at the beginning, Paul says, it is in the gospel that Paul has preached, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything Jesus has ever taught to Paul and to the other apostles, everything they've seen him see and everything they've heard and see Jesus do, Paul teaches this to the Corinthians of his life, birth, life, and death, and resurrection. Why? Verse 2. Because it is in this gospel that you are saved. It is in the birth, life, and death, and resurrection of Christ that you are saved, but it is only if you hold on to that truth that has been preached and told to you. Jesus went to the cross. This is a bag of soil, if you can't see. Okay, Jesus went to the cross. He took our punishment. This is our sin. Okay, this is our sin. This bag of soil is our sin. Jesus went to the cross, and the worst sin committed by man ever was to kill the Son of God. But he had to go. Because of our sin, Jesus took our punishment. So when Jesus went up on that cross, our sin here, which is on our shoulders, does this. Okay? That sin is transferred. And when Jesus dies and conquers death, that sin is gone. Jesus does this to death. See you later. You are defeated. That's why the resurrection matters. And if we hold on to that truth, that Christ died for our sins and rose again and defeated death for us, so that we might have a relationship with God. That's why it matters. And Paul says, if we don't hold on to that truth, if we don't hold on to the truth that Christ died and raised again for us, well, then it's all been in vain. It just doesn't matter. It's pointless, absolutely meaningless. It's not worth a toffee. Nothing. If we don't hold on to that truth. I mean, if the resurrection never happened, well, it wouldn't matter, would it? None of it would matter. If Christ didn't die for us, none of it would matter. But he did. And he rose again. So that what? So that we might be forgiven from our sins. And that's what he has done. If they found his body today, like I said earlier, or they found it 6 months, 30 years down the line, and say, that is Christ's body, it just wouldn't count. But they didn't. He was seen. He was heard. He was touched. A little like me, it really matters that I take my insulin. Because if I don't, I'm doomed. If I don't take it, well, not only am I going to hurt myself, I'm going to hurt my wife. But it's even worse if I reject Christ and his resurrection. The consequences are far greater if I reject the truth of Christ's birth, life, death, and resurrection, and particularly his resurrection. Because if we don't hold on to that, because if we don't hold firm to that truth, then we are condemned to our punishment, which was given to Adam, which is death, but not just death, but eternal death, eternal suffering. But in Christ, we gain something so much better. We gain eternal life because of what he did in the grave and because of his resurrection. You know, someone even like Paul, who persecuted the church from day one, who persecuted the likes of Jesus, persecuted Jesus and what he was doing. But what does it say in verse 9 and 10? It's only by God's grace that Paul was saved. It's only by God's grace that Jesus went to the cross and died for the likes of Paul, for the likes of you and me. It's by God's grace that Jesus went to the grave and was gloriously risen for us. Without the resurrection, there is nothing. There's no faith. There's no belief in it. It's just futile. But it happened. And it shows God's great mercy upon us. It shows God's great power. And it shows Jesus' great power that he defeated death for the likes of you and me. Because without it, we would have no chance of having a relationship with God. We would be burdened with our sins, a weight that we cannot hold. But, and a very big but, because of Christ's resurrection, we are saved if we hold on to that truth and believe that Jesus Christ died for us. Because of the resurrection, we have a relationship with him. And it doesn't matter who you hear it from. Paul says it himself. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach. And what you believed. Brothers and sisters, today is a glorious day. Today is a day when we remember the resurrection of Christ, the man who saved us, bore our sufferings, and brought us into relationship with him, but only if we believe. If you're not a Christian here today, can I urge you to really consider thinking about it, to really consider the difference that it makes and why it matters. For those of us that are following the Lord Jesus, well, rejoice. Our Saviour is alive. He is in heaven waiting for us for the day that he calls us home. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for today. Thank you for the day of the resurrection of Christ. Thank you for the hope and assurance that it brings to us. Thank you, through that we are forgiven and saved of our sins and the eternal punishment of death. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would keep us on this straight and narrow and keep our hearts soft, and that we rejoice in knowing that we will be raised with Christ. Amen.